And my favorite Christmas carol is, I wish me a lot of presents, I wish me a lot of presents. And my wife, one of the things she said to me yesterday was, when we were Christmas shopping, I can't buy anything for you because you're with me. Another hit, I shouldn't have been with her. And I said, well, don't worry, I can listen. I can listen. And, you know, in spite of all that stuff around us, we do draw our attention this time of the year to a lot of good stuff, don't we? Around Christmas. And of course, you know, Lucy, who just stepped out of the sanctuary to take care of some stuff, you know, this is tough for her. This Tuesday the 10th last year, this time she lost her husband. And some of you others who know loss in your lives, especially around the holidays, that's not an easy time. It's not. And at the same time that we talk about these kinds of things, we're grateful for His grace. And we're grateful that we can focus on what really this time of the year is all about. So I want to just do a Christmas story meditation and talk about the leading role. I can remember my first Christmas play. I was just 16, and I just started going to church. I was a bad Catholic boy, and a bunch of things, good stuff happened in my life, and I started back to church. And so I was cast in our Christmas program, our Christmas play at church. And they gave me the role of Joseph. I can still remember, I can still tell you the names of the other people who were in the play with us. I can still remember Wendy. She was Mary. I can still remember Steve. Steve was the curtain guy. And I mention him in particular because the stupid plot fit in just a moment. But I remember that play, and I had lots of lines to memorize. Of course, I had, you know, scripture verses from the Gospel of Luke to memorize, from Joseph or whatever, however it was that put the play together. And we're standing there in front of the church, and they had a makeshift curtain, and Steve, who is the curtain guy, is standing there. And I'm, you know, reading my lines, and Mary is there, I don't know, whoever, they probably had angels and wise guys, or wise men, sorry. And I'm reading my lines, and I get done, and, you know, and everything goes quiet. And with an awful stare, I, Mary, Wendy, and me, and people, whatever, and I'm, you know, kind of like, okay, come on, who's next, you know? And Steve, the curtain guy, is looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, close the curtain, Steve, close the curtain. So he does. I go off stage, only to be informed that everyone was waiting on me because I had a couple more lines. Now, the next year I wasn't in the Christmas. And I remember, you know. So that was the part I played. And when we look at Matthew's Gospel, and that's what I want to draw your attention to this morning, the Christmas story from Matthew. And we often read from Luke's gospel because he has an extended version. You know, we get the shepherds and we get the angels singing and we get the story is just expanded. Matthew is a little bit is more terse and to the point. But there's something I want to get at from Matthew's gospel about the leading role. The leading. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus started in verse 18. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. So he's about to tell us a story. He says, his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And so we know that as the virgin birth of Jesus, the miracle. And as miraculous as that kind of thing sounds to us, and to some people, it's incredulous. How can I believe that? Well, you could think of it this way, is that God performed in vitro fertilization in Mary. And into her womb was deposited Jesus. Incredible. Incredible. A miracle? Yes, indeed. And in this story, of course, the plot thickens. It says in verse, the next verse, it says, because Joseph, her husband was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So a scandal happened. Here you have a young woman. They're engaged. And before they tie the knot, she announces that she's pregnant. It's like, uh-oh. And Joseph, being a good man, as it says here, you know, didn't want to create a scandal. Well, too late, Joseph. A scandal was created. And then it says that Joseph was visited by the angel of the Lord. It took something big to change his mind. And the Lord appears to him in a dream, the angel of the Lord, and says to him, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And there you have another part that's being played. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the angel of the Lord, of course. And you have the Holy Spirit in this. And then the angel says that Mary will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. And which comes from the Hebrew Yeshua, which means, as everyone knows, Savior. His name should be called Jesus, because he's going to live up to his name, Jesus, the Savior. And it says in particular, because he will save his people from their sin. And then verse 22, the last verse that I'm going to read, 22 and 23, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had already spoken in the Old Testament through his prophet, that a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I'm going to pray. And so, Heavenly Father, is here we have it, what we refer to as the Christmas story, a part of the Christmas story. And I pray as we think about these things, as we are in this season that we refer to as Christmas, and wherever we're at with it, I pray that this meditation will bring strength, will say something to us that will be encouraging. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so there are various players in this Christmas program that God performed, as we've already read. And, you know, some of you may have heard the story of Jesus referred to as the greatest story ever. And here's the beginning of that story, where it says this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, the greatest story ever told. It is the greatest story ever told for good reason. Why? For good reason in this. Because at his birth, we are foretold, we are pointed in the direction of him living up to his namesake. So in as much as we come to Christmas and we think about the manger, yet we have to see that in this child, there is a pointing forward to the cross. Because it's at that cross that he's going to be able to take care of living up to his namesake, that he will save his people from their sin. Think of it this way. So a child is born, and you know, when you look at that child, as maybe you've looked at your children, you look at kids being born, and it's like, man, you know, what are they going to be when they grow up? And it's like, there's all the potential of the world is in that child. And so a particular child is born, and this child grows, and at first there's everything ordinary about this child, fits in with everybody, but there's something yet different about this kid. The focus of this kid's life is a little bit different. Goes on to medical school, gets caught up in research. That seems to be this kid's bent. And while in research, discovers the cure for cancer. Not just one type of cancer, but discovers a cure that as a blanket covers whatever form of cancer. And it really does work. It really does cure cancer. Who would have known that in this kid, and now is announced as the doctor who discovered the cure for cancer? Would you say, wow? I'd say, wow. And if you can look at, when I think about doctors of that caliber, some of you know the life story of Dr. Ben Carson, right? The neurosurgeon who separated the Siamese twins, right? Who are alive and functioning, discovered all of that. And when I think about that analogy that I just used, I think about here with Jesus. Born, and he fit in so well that his own family didn't think anything special of him. Can you imagine that? When he starts his ministry, his mother comes looking for him along with his brothers and sisters, and it's like, what's he doing? What's he doing? And yet, there's something in him. There's something in him. As we read of his story and what's driving him, where's he going? So there's something in him. There's something pushing him. There's something driving him. There's something that he must do because he is no ordinary child. He is no ordinary person. Because it says that he is the Son of God and that he will save his people from their sin. You talk about discovering the cure for whatever type of cancer there is. Here it is right here. Cancer is a hideous thing. Some of you know about that, right? A hideous cancer is. I've sat at the bedside of family and parishioners who are breathing their last breath because of cancer, holding on to their hands and seeing it just wreck their lives, just eat them away. And when he says, "You shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins," he went to that cross, starting here on this day, driven to it, that he might find the cure. And there he did find the cure for sin that eats us like a cancer. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. That's the role he played. And I would say that in this story, as we talk about Joseph, as we talk about Mary, the leading role, of course, is assigned to Jesus, wouldn't you say? But here we go. We're in this play as well. Did you know that you were there? That you're mentioned, in fact, in this play. You're there. You have a part to play in this story. Because it says, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. And this is how I like to think about that, God with us. Inasmuch as it said he will save his people from their sins, he's not just referring to the Jewish people, but he's referring to his people. His people. I'm one of his people. So I'm in the story. I have a role to play. I have a part to play in this story. So that God with us. And here it is. In the things of your life. In the people who are in your life. In all the stuff. You know, I'm talking about stuff. You have less stuff in your life. In all the things that your life is made up of, all of it, that makes up, you could say, the stage of your life and the role that you play, the various roles that you play in life. God in Jesus has come to you, has come to me. Amen. Right there in the middle. Sometimes it seems like a mess, sometimes it seems as though it makes no sense. In my own life, I mentioned to you that when I was 16, I found myself in church again. And at 16, my life was a wreck. And I felt as though even at the age of 16, that the next step for my life was Aaron going to have to put me away because I was so messed up. And I found myself in church, and my life began to make sense. Began to make sense. You understand? In all of the stuff of life, and ever since that time, in all the stuff of life that comes at us, and it's like you're on that ride at the amusement park. Remember that you wish you would have never gotten on, and it's like it's going around. It's like, hey, stop this thing. Your life can get that way. And it's like it can seem as though you're so dizzy, it doesn't make sense. Well, no, Emmanuel, God with us. And he makes my life to have eternal sense. And he does that for your life as well. That's 25 minutes of So there it is, you know. We're going to be hearing a lot about Christmas. How many of you have seen Charlie Brown Christmas? We appreciate that story because it says something significant about Christmas, doesn't it? And this is where we're at. And as much as I hate cliches, I hate cliches, but Jesus is the reason. Right? He is. Would you please stand with me? You're often running into this Christmas season. I'm going to let my wife shop the remainder by herself. But we do enjoy this. And I trust that you'll have a good Christmas season. Friends and family and presents and value. You know, what greater gift do we have than the way in which we celebrate with each other? And Emmanuel is right there in the middle. Father, we thank you that you have come, and you have come in Jesus. And when you came, you did not come in God, but you have come to stay. And we're grateful. And I pray this morning, Lord God, that the way in which you are able to make sense, to make us to feel that purpose and meaning of our lives, and how it is that you, Jesus, have dealt with the cancer of our sins in offering us forgiveness in Christ. That we would feel that and know that and celebrate that gift that God has given to us this season. So Lord, I pray your blessing now upon your people. Pray your blessing upon our time of fellowship downstairs in Jesus' name.